Well, good evening. We have another good number tonight, like we did this morning. Lots of visitors. It's always good to see our visitors. You're an encouragement to us for being here, and we want you to know that. So, singing was great. I think it was hard for her to keep up with Matt because he doesn't drag, does he? He'll go right through it without. If you don't keep up, he'll leave you behind, won't he? So anyway, you know, last Sunday night, I think it was last Sunday night, I preached a lesson on how shall the young honor father and mother. And, you know, I actually got some comments from the young people about that, some things that they didn't agree with. And so, but you know what the great thing is? They were listening. And so I think that's great. So tonight I'm going to do kind of a follow-up lesson to that. And so we're going to consider some thoughts from God's Word. And it's going to be primarily directed at our young people, but not exclusively. Because I want us all to understand that the things that we're going to talk about that are going to be directed to them also apply to us as well. And so tonight we're going to talk about, again, relationships. And so when you think about it, life is all about relationships, isn't it? And the word relationship is obviously a word that is related to words like related and relative. And it's important that all of us realize that relationships involve sharing. Isn't that right? You have a relationship with your parents. Why? Well, because you share the same name. You share blood. You have a relationship with your friends. Why? Because you share the same common interests, right? You have a relationship with your brothers and sisters in Christ because you share a common Savior, Jesus Christ. And so all of these things involve sharing. And so what I want to talk to you about tonight is that it's important for us to be a good son or daughter. It's important for us to be a good friend or a good brother and sister. But I want to impress upon you tonight that it is important for us to be a good Christian. I'm talking about securing your relationship with God. And so I'm going to use one text tonight to make my case. And that's going to be found in the book of Ecclesiastes. And we'll be starting in chapter 11. And so at an early age, you begin to sort out all of your different relationships. And it's important that we manage those relationships properly. You know, if you mismanage your finances, you're going to lose money, aren't you? Or if you mismanage what goes into your body, chances are down the road you're going to have some physical problems, right? Some health issues. But if you mismanage your relationships, and in particular, your relationship with God, then it can cause you to lose your soul. And so what I want to talk to you about tonight is how shall the young remember their Creator? As I said, we're going to be looking at Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verses 9 and 10. It says there, "Rejoice, young man, during your childhood, and let your heart be pleasant during the days of young manhood, and follow the impulses of your heart and the desires of your eyes. Yet know that God will bring you to judgment for all these things. So remove grief and anger from your heart, and put away pain from your body, because childhood and the prime of life are fleeting." And then chapter 12 says, verse 1, "Remember also your Creator in the days of your youth, before the evil days come and the years draw near, when you will say, I have no delight in them." You know how to build a relationship with another person, right? You've been doing that all of your life. You share time together. You share experiences and emotions. You communicate with those people. So how in the world do we build a relationship with God? Well, I want to suggest to you tonight that we do it using the same skills that we use to build relationships with other people. I want to suggest to you three things tonight about how we ought to remember our Creator. And so number one, Solomon says basically in Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 1, he says, remember that God made you, which is the same as saying, remember now your Creator. He's saying, remember that God made you. And maybe even as you're sitting here tonight, you may find yourself questioning your identity, searching for your purpose in life, asking yourself, who am I? Or why am I here? And so the answer is, remember that God made you. You know, there's not an older person in this audience tonight who has not had or who's not asked themselves those questions at least once in their lifetime. In Dr. James Dobson's book, Hide and Seek, a book about man's search for identity and for purpose in life, I want to read a quote from that book. Listen to this. He says that human worth in our society is carefully reserved for those who meet certain rigid specifications. The beautiful people, he said, are born with it. Those who are highly intelligent are likely to find approval. Superstar athletes are usually respected. But listen to what he says here. He says, no one is considered valuable just for the simple fact that he is. You know, we've got it backwards in our culture, don't we? Because a man's worth in our society today is determined by what he has, and it ought to be determined by what he is. And so Dr. Dobson says this is especially damaging to young people who in the world that lauds the beautiful, the athlete, and the wealthy. He says young people rush to the mirror looking for signs of greatness only to find a terminal case of acne. If all we are, if our worth is determined by the kind of clothes that we wear and what we look like and by the people that we hang around, and I want to tell you something. We're in trouble, folks. Could it be that we're related, that we have a relationship with someone who never dies? Could it be that we have a relationship with someone who sees our real beauty, not just what's on the outside, but looking at our hearts? Could it be that we have a relationship with someone who knew us before we were ever known? Do you remember what David said in Psalm 139 and verse 16? He says, your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed, and in your book they all were written, the days fashioned for me, when as yet there were none of them. What's he saying? He's saying that God knew us before we were even born. God knew us before we were even conceived. You know, suicide, I looked this up. Jared might have to correct me. Suicide is the 12th leading cause of death in the United States. That comes from a survey done in 2020. Almost 46,000 Americans died by suicide. And we live in a country where people fear for their lives, don't they? They're afraid that someone's going to come in, break into their home, and kill them. But isn't it a sad commentary in our culture that more people are killing themselves than are being killed by another human being? That's sad, folks. And what that says is that we have forgotten who we are, that God has made us. And when we seek to answer the question, who am I, The answer is that you are God made. And that makes you somebody. Because man is the only creature that God said, let us make him in our image, according to our likeness. And so, we need to act like people who are God made. Remember that it is God who made us. God made you. Now, David asked a question of God in Psalm chapter 8 and verse 4. He said, what is man that you take thought of him? You see, God said that you're somebody. And I love you so much that I have set a plan in place to save you. And what should our young people think when they're taught by the public schools that they're nothing more than an evolved amoeba, right? Evolved from animals. Solomon said, you remember that God made you. And let me just say, God made you just the way you are. He made you exactly the way that he wanted to. And what that means is, God gave you your looks. God gave you your looks. He could have made you look any way that he wanted to. He could have put you in any period of time in history, but he chose this one. And so God gave you your freckles, and he gave you the color of your hair, and he made you just the way that you are. And we need to take care of ourselves, don't we? And to look our best, not someone else's best. You look your best because that's how God made you. God gave you your looks. God gave you your abilities. He gave you something to do. I want you to think about that. Isn't it logical that if we're made by God, that God made us for him? That he made us to serve? He's given us talents and abilities, not to store up in a bank somewhere, but to use for service. And so what you do is you do your best with what you have. Stop envying other people and the things that God has given someone else and keep using what he has given you and make the best of it because God made you that way. God gave you your family. We talked about this last Sunday a little bit. Out of all the mothers and fathers and grandmothers and grandfathers and brothers and sisters he has given you, he gave you the ones that you have. For those of you that know your grandparents, see, I didn't really know my grandparents. I was very young when they died, and some of them I never even met. But if you know your grandparents, I hope you're making the best of it because God gave them to you. So love them the best you can. Remember that God made you, and he has placed everything in your life, every circumstance, just the way he wanted it. And so remember to thank him. The second thing that I want to say about remembering your creator is this next phrase that Solomon uses in Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 1. Remember your creator when? In the days of your youth. Remember that God made you. But secondly, don't play the waiting game, right? Young people, don't get trapped playing the waiting game. Have you ever thought about why God would say, remember your creator in the days of your youth? You know, there's not really all that much expected of our young people these days, really. People say, oh, well, they just got to sow their wild oats. You ever heard someone say that? Oh, they just got to get that out of their system. Live it up while they're young. They're just going through a phase. When they get over, they'll get over it. They'll get it out of their system. But sadly, some never do they? I work with people like that every day. The Bible speaks about young people. You know that? Specifically about young people. The Lord reveals to us young people who remembered their Creator in the Bible. Remember Daniel? He was a teenager, right? And he was taken into captivity. It said that he would not defile himself with the king's delicacies. How about Samuel? It was said about the child Samuel that he continued to grow in stature and in favor both with the Lord and with men. What about Jesus? 12 years old, when his parents thought that they had lost him, what did he say? He said, "Didn't you know I need to be busy about my Father's business?" Listen, the Lord expects the young, just as he does the aged, to remember him, to respect him and honor him and revere him. And it just so happens, now listen, that the choices that you make, even at 12 years old and 15 years old and 18 years old, they will likely plot the remainder of the course of your life. I hope you understand that. When we talk about remembering your Creator in the days of your youth, we're talking about really habits, aren't we? That habits that you start as a young person stay with you the rest of your life. Do you realize that? Many of them, hopefully, are good habits, and they will have a positive impact on your life. Some of them can be bad habits, and they can have a negative impact on your life. Do you think that the alcoholic ever thought that when he took his first drink at a party, maybe in high school, to be cool, that he would someday die of cirrhosis of the liver? Do you think he was thinking about that when he took his first drink? I don't think so. What about the person, the kid, that cheated on his test, on an exam in school, would later become a dishonest businessman and unethical and have to serve time in prison? Do you think the kid that cheats on his test in high school would think about something like that? Probably not. You see, you form habits right now. Why not, while you're young, get into some good habits? How about daily Bible reading? Would that be something that you'd like to keep with you for the rest of your life? What about praying every day? What about inviting people to services? What about taking time to sit down and fill out a card and send it to someone that's discouraged? Wouldn't that be something that you would like to do for the rest of your life, for your whole life? Well, why not start when you're young? I'll tell you something. I can guarantee you, I've not talked to any of our older people here, but like Kent, but just kidding. Listen, there's not an older person here probably doesn't wish they would have started sooner doing some of those things. Praying every day, reading their Bibles every day, inviting people to serve. You know why? Because maybe it wouldn't be such a struggle for us now to do that. And I'm putting myself in that boat. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth. And he identifies the reason at the end of verse 12, or chapter 12. Look at verse 14. For God will bring every act to judgment, everything which is hidden, whether it is good or evil. That means that you're not going to be able to use the excuse when on the day of judgment, "Well, you know, God, I was just a teenager then. I didn't know any better. Or, you know, I was foolish back then. I wasn't thinking right." God will bring every act into judgment, every hidden thing. And sadly, that includes things done in our youth. Don't play the waiting game. Don't put it off. To say that I'm going to get around to that after I get all this other stuff done, or when this happens, or after I do this, then I'll start serving the Lord. You know, I can't tell you how many times I've heard people say that. And I wish it weren't true, but I've attended funerals of young people who were playing the waiting game. And they waited, and they waited, and they waited too long. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth. Remember that God made you. Learn while you're young. Don't play the waiting game. And then lastly, make God a priority while you're young. Learn while you're young to make God a priority. Look at what Solomon said in Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Or the New American Standard Translation says, because this applies to every person. I never even knew that that translation said that. This applies to every person. That means young people too. If God is not remembered in youth, you know what? Then he will likely be forgotten in age. And don't think that it's going to get any easier, young people. We always think that there's going to come a day where we're going to have all this time to catch up and do the things that we need to do. When I get out of high school, you see, I won't have to be going to class 8 hours a day, so I'll have loads of time. But what about college, right? Well, when I get out of college, then I'll have more time. Well, you're probably working a job by that time, won't you? And then you'll be getting married. And then you'll be having children. The day when you'll have all this free time, that is a myth. That day is never coming, folks. Kids, it'll never come. Don't think it's going to get any easier as you get older. The easiest way is to learn while you're young, to develop the habits, to make God a priority. That's it. Jesus said it this way in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Seek first. You know, the Israelites were rebuked. Well, they were rebuked a lot. But they were actually rebuked in the book of Haggai because they sought to build their own paneled houses before finishing the temple of God. And in the book of Malachi, they were chastised because they were holding back the best that they had to sacrifice. And they were giving God the lame and the sick and the things that they had no use for, and they were giving that to God. And God called them on it. You remember what God said to them? He said, why don't you offer those things to the governor? He said, you know, you would never do that, would you? You wouldn't even give that to your own father. What about your heavenly father? Where's my honor? I want to ask you a question, young people. What does it demonstrate with your relationship with God and about your priorities with him when we stay home on Sunday night or Wednesday night to do our homework? Parents, if we allow our kids to do that, I have a question for you. What are we teaching them when we allow that to happen? You know, we go to all the trouble of getting tutors so that our kids can learn math and do well at that. But what are we doing to help them learn Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? Where's the priority? What are we teaching other young people when we do that? What are you teaching your teammates on the soccer team or the ball team or whatever about your priorities when you miss services for a game? Do you think that when that happens, that you can honestly tell your teammates that your relationship with God is the most important relationship that you have? Now listen, you may not agree with what I'm saying. And your parents may not agree with what I'm saying. And listen, I'm not going to stand up here and saying you're sinning when you do that. I'm not taking that stand and saying, you know, telling you what you need to do. But think about this. When we allow things of this world even good and wholesome things to take priority over our worshiping God? Are we not squandering a perfect opportunity to say to our friends, when it comes to my relationship with God, God comes first? Aren't we blowing a great opportunity there? Is that not the message that we're failing to send when we do that? Just think about it. You're going to have to make your own decision on some of this stuff later on in life. But learn while you're young to make God a priority. If you're a teenager who puts off your responsibility to the Lord, you'll likely become an adult that does the same thing. Will you not learn while you're young to see the need of getting to know the Lord personally? Of getting to know him, as David said, not the Lord as a shepherd, and not even the Lord as the shepherd. The Lord as my shepherd. Can we not see the need while we're young to do that? To make him a priority. To getting to know him personally. Because you know what? Judgment is going to be personal. There's not going to be a separate line for the Marietta Reno Church, kids. There's not going to be a separate line for your family. But you will stand based on your own deeds according to what is done in the body. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10. It's important for you while you're young to realize that. To have a sense of urgency to see the need of getting to know the Lord on a personal level by making him a priority, the priority that he needs to be in your life. Do it while you're young. I want to close with a reminder that Paul gave a young preacher in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 19. He said, "The Lord knows those who are his." If you're just pretending to have a relationship with him, if you're just faking it, remembering your creator, you know what? Doesn't matter. If you fooled your parents, maybe you fooled this congregation. If you fooled all your friends, don't ever forget, the Lord knows those who are his. He knows those who are real, those who aren't wearing a mask, those who aren't acting the part, those who aren't hypocrites. He knows. You haven't pulled one over on him. So you must decide which response you want to hear on Judgment Day. Enter in, good and faithful servant, or depart. I never knew you. And that phrase means I have no favorable knowledge of you. You have no relationship with me. We share nothing in common. The Lord knows those who are his. On that day, I just want the Lord to know me. I want him to recognize me. I want him to remember our relationship. But how can I ever expect him to remember me up there if I didn't remember him down here? Will you remember your creator? Will you remember that God made you? Will you stop playing the waiting game and decide maybe even this very night to become a Christian, to be baptized for the remission of your sins? Will you do that tonight? To confess his name, you know, that's part of the relationship, isn't it? To confess the name unashamedly. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God, right? Because he has promised that whoever does that here, he will confess before his Father up there in heaven. So, young people, will you see the sense of urgency of starting right now? While you're young, lay the foundation for a long life of service in the kingdom of God. If we can help you do that tonight, come on up to the front while we stand and sing.